Next item on the agenda. Public hearing, proposed regulation to establish a fishing guide license and to limit the sale of that license.
Some additional public comment has come in since your mail out.
Oh, good.
I think before you start with your presentation, Mr. Travelstead, I'd like to make a comment if I could. I think a lot of people have heard from time to time that me make the comment that the commission has got a lot of things that we're required to do. I'll wait till everybody comes in.
Yeah, I will.
As I was saying from the outset, this commission has a lot of different issues that we have to undertake. None of them appear to be easy issues. None of them seem to be as straightforward as you'd like for them to be. And certainly there are a lot of variables that come up that we really weren't aware of at the time that we proceed down the path to do what we believe is right. I think we're going to have a public hearing today, a presentation of public hearing on this fishing guide license. And I want to state for the record, a lot of different things have come up in the last month, a lot of different variables, a lot of different aspects, a lot of different considerations, economic and biological, and deals with a lot of different ramifications. When Mr. Travelstead and I, staff, went down the path of examining this guide license, establishing this guide license, we had one thing and one thing alone as far as our objective, and that was to achieve parity for the fishermen in Virginia so that they could ply the waters of adjoining states. We in no way intended to undertake any type of activity, exercise, that would in any way negatively impact anyone in any way. But boy, once we decided to go down the path to try to accomplish that one simple mission of what we had been basically led to believe was the objective of a number of people, it became very apparent that there were a lot of other nuances and variables and things that needed to be examined. But I've received numerous calls, and there's been a lot of innuendo, a lot of statements, a lot of comments made that, you know, we were doing things for maybe the wrong reason. And I can assure you that that was not the intent of this commission or my intent whatsoever. We simply wanted to obtain parity with our neighbors. So having said that, I wanted to make that clear, get that right out front, and if anybody would like to discuss it personally with me sometime later, they're more than welcome to, but anyone that knows me knows that I cut to the chase and tell you the truth, and that's the way it is. So with that, Jack, please start the presentation.
Let me first go through the package I just handed, just very quickly. The first three pages are some data for you to look at it at some point in time. I don't need to go through those now. The first letter that you see behind those three pieces, the first three pages from the state of Maryland, is the official signed letter from the Secretary of Natural Resources, which I'll refer to momentarily. It also contains, or attached to that letter, is a copy of the existing license reciprocity agreement that we will talk about amending. Following that is a email from BillyBlack3@AOL.com, which is Mr. Percy Blackburn, who's been the spearhead on this issue with the Virginia Charter Boat Association. And he is providing me, he provided me last Friday with the association's current opinion or position on this issue, and I will refer to that shortly as well. Behind that is a recommendation for an alternative to the advertised version of limited entry that was provided by Tom Powers, and the advisory committee has an interest in looking at his proposal, as do a number of other members of the public who have commented that they're interested in his approach. And then following that is a number of other emails expressing concern about the advertised proposal. An interesting one from Mr. Bunnell on November 21st lists his understanding of six different intended purposes of the proposed measures. And I point that out to you because it seems that the objective of what we're trying to achieve with the proposed regulations has changed over time. And it's no longer clear as to exactly what certain members of the public or certain associations or the commission actually want us to achieve with the proposed regulations. And that's where staff is on this. So we don't have a specific recommendation for you because we do not know what specific objective you're trying to achieve. So we have a variety of recommendations for you to consider. Let me start back with just real quickly a little bit of history on this issue. Back in the mid-1990s, the state of Maryland limited entry into its charter boat fishery. For any number of reasons, they clamped down on the availability of those licenses, and in doing so, prevented access to Maryland waters for many Virginians. And that situation has continued. Periodically, over the last 15 years, there have been attempts by this agency and by then secretaries of natural resources, by members, legislative members of the Chesapeake Bay Commission, and by the Virginia General Assembly to gain access for Virginia charter boats to Maryland waters. All along in that period of time, the chief goal of everything that we have tried to achieve has been to gain access to Maryland waters for our vessels. And, of course, most recently, the Charter Boat Association came to us and said, you have the authority under current law to create a guide license and to limit the sale of that license. And we believe that if you do that, that will result in a situation where perhaps Maryland might agree to let us into their waters. And so we headed down this road. Now, we also noted that in limiting the sale of a guide license, you may also achieve other objectives. For instance, you might achieve better enforcement of the federal rule that prohibits the taking of striped bass in the ocean beyond 3 miles, because you will have created a license that can be revoked. We don't have that license right now for certain non-residents who fish in our waters. So that was an added objective that potentially could be achieved by going forward with this. You might also create a situation where, since you have a number of limited licenses, it might be easier to manage that fishery. And in that process of management, the resource might be better off. The resource like striped bass might be better off. But the question comes, what is our purpose? And if our purpose is singular, and that is to get access for our boats to Maryland waters, then there's a very easy solution to that situation. If the objective is beyond that, the solution becomes much more difficult, and the one that we have proposed is opposed now by many for economic reasons, the impacts it will have on the economy by eliminating some of these vessels from our fishery, and for the fishermen who have some immediate desire to get into the charter boat fishery who would be unable to do so. A couple of things have happened since your last meeting you need to be aware of. Number one, the state of Maryland has come forward and said, we will grant reciprocity to your vessels to fish in our waters if you limit the number of vessels that would fall under that reciprocity agreement. This is a major concession by the state of Maryland, one that we should not let get away. We've been trying to achieve this for 15 years, and they have now come forward and agreed to what we want. The second thing that is now somewhat confusing, and I'll go back to the email that I referenced from Mr. Percy Blackburn, is that the Charter Boat Association no longer supports reciprocity with the state of Maryland. Now, quite frankly, I don't know how to react to that, because we've spent the last 6 months trying to achieve reciprocity and developing a series of regulations that we thought ultimately would convince Maryland to grant reciprocity, and lo and behold, it's happened. And now the Charter Boat Association says, well, we really don't want reciprocity with Maryland. We want you to proceed with limiting entry for other reasons. I don't think we're ready to limit entry in the fishery at this point, other than for the purpose of achieving reciprocity with Maryland. We had an excellent meeting with our FinFish Management Advisory Committee, a number of excellent discussions with the members of that committee. It was well attended by the public. There was 2.5 hours, I believe, of public input and discussion, a lot of concerns expressed, and it was extremely helpful to staff. And so our recommendations have changed as a result of that meeting and that public input. The biggest thing that hit home at the FMAC meeting was there appears to be a strongly held belief by many who are opposed to what we're doing, that the number of individuals who will benefit by gaining access to Maryland waters is a small number, maybe only a dozen boats, two dozen, while the number of Virginians who will be negatively impacted by the limited entry proposal that we've advertised is large in number. And it just doesn't seem fair to those individuals that you would limit entry to benefit a few, but impact a large number of individuals who are Virginians. To avoid that situation, we're recommending today that you take action to take advantage of the offer from Maryland for reciprocity, and that is you create two fishing guide licenses, both of which are valid statewide. You would have to have one or the other to be a fishing guide in the state of Virginia. It would be good anywhere in the salt waters of the state. One of those two fishing guides would be limited entry, as we've advertised, and it would be that license that is reciprocal with Maryland's license. Remember, Maryland's condition of reciprocity is that we limit the number of licenses. They don't want hordes of Virginia vessels coming up into their waters. And so you would limit that, the first license, as we've advertised, and that license would be reciprocal with Maryland's license. The second license would be wide open, free access, open access, available to be purchased by anyone at any time without any condition other than payment of the fee. It would have the same privileges as the first guide license, with the exception that you cannot go into Maryland waters. So we're in a sense creating a guide license But we're tweaking the reciprocity agreement to only allow certain holders of that guide license to get into to Maryland waters. Beyond that, there have been a number of alternatives expressed by a number of people, some on FMAC and some from the public, that if you want to go beyond what staff is calling option one that I've just described for you, we think there needs to be some considerable discussion about other options and additional discussion about what objective you hope to achieve from that type of regulation. And that may require the appointment of perhaps a subcommittee of commission members and public to continue those discussions. The good thing, as we see it with the option one that we're recommending, is it does create a fishing guide license that begins to develop a history for us that we can build on that will describe how many fishing guides or boat captains there are in this state. Right now, you cannot equate the existing charter boat license with boat captains because the charter boat license is required to be purchased by the boat owner, who may not be the captain of the vessel. And in some cases, a charter boat may have a charter boat owner may make use of multiple captains to operate that vessel for him. We don't know what those numbers are now, but by creating a guide license here today, you begin to build that kind of history. And then at some point in time, when the discussions are done or other problems present themselves that need to be solved, you'll have that history to begin to develop a limited entry, a more defined limited entry program to address those problems. One of the other issues that we've tried to solve with this is this enforcement issue, particularly, again, of the federal closure of federal waters to striped bass. And the theory is if you can create a license that you can then revoke by a violator, you have a little bit more pressure on that person to abide by the law. And we agree with that. But under our option one, while Virginians would have the guide license that could be revoked, a Marylander under the reciprocity agreement would not. So we still have not solved that problem of being able to revoke the fishing guide license from a Marylander who violates the law because he doesn't have the license. However, the commissioner, in agreeing to reciprocity, the commission is authorized by code to accept reciprocity agreements. We believe that, and because the reciprocity agreement has to be amended anyway, if you choose to go with this option one, that there be a further amendment to the reciprocity agreement that would authorize the commission to revoke the reciprocity agreement on an individual licensee basis, so that if a non-resident is caught habitually violating certain laws, while we don't have a license we can revoke, we can revoke reciprocity of his Maryland license with ours on an individual basis, and he would be sent home.
Vice versa.
The Marylander would be sent home.
Revoke ours,
yeah. Yep, and vice versa, yes. Again, this would take an amendment to the reciprocity agreement. We've not discussed this with Maryland. I don't know why they would object to it, but I think it's a novel approach that gets at a concern that a number of individuals have expressed to us over the last 6 months. I think, you know, that's where we are on this issue. We're at this stage, again, willing to solve a singular problem and that is reciprocity or access to Maryland waters. And beyond that, the advisory committee, again, was unanimous in their vote that the commission not take action today to limit Virginia access to the charter boat fishery, and we would request that you honor that, with the exception of allowing for this reciprocity to go forward.
Mm-hmm. Question.
To answer any questions.
Questions of Mr. Travelstead? It's not a public hearing, not quite, just from the commission at the present time. Mr. Fox.
So how would a Virginia charter boat captain get one of the reciprocity eligible guide licenses?
He would have to qualify under the conditions that were advertised for limited entry. That is, if he held a charter boat license, first of all, he's a Coast Guard licensed captain, number one. Number two, he had to have bought his 08 license before June 24th of this year. Option two was he held a charter boat license in 06 and 07. Option three is he worked for at least, he can document 30 days work in the charter boat fishery during those time periods, and can show proof of income, a 1099, a W-2, or some type of insurance certification that shows he was insured as a captain on a charter boat. And not every insurance company lists people like that, but in some cases they do. But those would be the criteria. If you met that, you would get a guide license that would be reciprocal with Maryland. If you didn't qualify for that, doesn't prevent you from fishing, you would buy the other guide license and be available to fish anywhere in Virginia. You just couldn't go into Maryland.
Mr. Schick.
So that means somebody would be able to buy a guide license and they could use any boat they wanted. But if they have a charter boat license, that's the boat. So you don't necessarily have to have both, do you?
Charter boat and fishing guide?
Right.
Yes, you do.
So you couldn't be a certified captain, like a six-pack license, and use somebody's boat that wants them to take a guide out on their boat, and they buy a guide license.
The question, I think, Jack, maybe to help, is if you had a guide license, are you relegated to that one specific boat, or could you have the guide license and go different?
The code says the fishing guide license is on the person who's the captain of the vessel.
Right.
When you have that in your hand, you can go on any boat.
So somebody can give you a call and say, look, I've got a 28 footer, I got six guys, we want you to take us out fishing.
Yes.
So you can do that. So you don't have to have necessarily both a charter boat and a guide license.
The boat would have to have the charter boat. The owner of the vessel is required to buy the charter boat license. That's the law now.
Okay, so it's just the owner of the boat.
Yes, the owner. He may not be the captain.
Right.
The operator of the boat, the captain, has to have the fishing guide license.
But I do know in some areas, people can hire a guide for their own boat that does not have a charter boat license.
Not in Virginia.
But not in this, and by bringing on this guide license, we wouldn't be allowing that.
The law since 93 has said if you're taking customers for hire on a fishing trip,
right,
that boat owner is required to buy the charter boat license to cover those passengers who are fishing.
Okay.
And that will remain the same.
Now, as far as enforcing regulations, if you find that a boat is not adhering to fishing regulations based on the charter boat license, why can't we revoke the charter boat license?
We can, but a Marylander will not have our charter boat license because his is reciprocal with ours. But yes, a Virginian.
So if we find a Virginia charter boat going out to and fishing the EEZ or something like that, or over quota or undersized, we could eliminate them from the fishery by taking, by revoking their license, the charter boat license.
Yes.
But if somebody comes from North Carolina or Maryland and fishes out of Rudy Inlet and does the same thing, we have no way to enforce that.
Maryland, yes. North Carolina, no. We don't have a reciprocity agreement with North Carolina. So they have to buy our charter boat license to
right.
operate here.
Right.
And in that case, we could revoke that license.
Okay. So in Maryland, they could come down and fish the ocean and with the reciprocity, and we have some control there.
If you amend the reciprocity agreement
right.
to revoke reciprocity on an individual license,
which we can't do here, that has to be done.
That's, yes, correct.
Further questions?
Good question.
Okay. Thank you. This is a public hearing. The matter is open to the public. Yes, sir, you, the gentleman right here in the blue and white shirt.
First off, Jack, I wanted to ask you a question.
Sir, so we can keep it on record. Right. Can you state your name first, please? And then
I'm Captain Robert Hewlett, President of Virginia Charter Boat Association.
Good to have you.
Jack, the reciprocity letter that has been sent by Maryland is reviewable after a year, correct? That's a one-year agreement, right?
There's no mention of 1 year in Secretary Griffin's letter. I had had some discussion with Tom O'Connell, my counterpart in Maryland, and he suggested that they want to review the situation periodically at the end of a year to see how many Virginians are coming up here, up to their waters.
Check your copy if you'd like.
To make sure again that hordes of Virginians are not coming to Maryland. But
Jack, wouldn't you presume that the number, just to throw it out, wouldn't the fair thing to be that the number that come here would be the number that come up there or thereabouts?
I think it'll probably end up
being less,
but it's hard to
because of
that's part of our dilemma because we cannot predict.
And that's what's mentioned in the specific letter about getting with the fishery management staff together to come up with a suitable number and suitable solution, correct?
We know that about 100 Maryland boats, according to Maryland DNR, about 100 Maryland boats come down to Virginia.
Right.
About half of them, slightly more than half, fish in the mid bay,
first year,
and the remainder are down at Virginia Beach area fishing in striped bass.
Okay.
The point, just to answer your question fully, there's a provision in the current reciprocity agreement that says it can be changed.
30 days, correct?
I think it's 90 days, but it's attached to the Secretary's letter. 90 days. So it can be changed in 90 days. Maryland could come back in 90 days and say the deal's off. I mean, we've lived with that for 15 years, and we can say the same thing.
Okay. Captain Hewlett?
Yes. To go ahead with the comment, the reason the charter boat kind of changed its position was because we got beat up at the Finfish meeting for warning the reciprocity. We got a lot of comment on it. We did want to level the playing field. Now, what is leveling the playing field involve? We are, at the present time, Virginia waters are open to Maryland boats. All Virginia waters are just wide open. They can come
right.
in here and do whatever they want to do. Our second problem is that we're not controlling our fishery. Last year, we were limited in December to one fish per customer on the boat, which makes it hard for a person to pay $650 to go for a trip. So this is the second part of what we're fighting, we're looking at. Maryland boats fish continually in the bay, on our part of our waters of the bay. In the meantime, they have, with their quota, which is much larger than ours, expanded their fishing season for rockfish. Our thing is, we have also always used the bay-wide fishery number quota to cover any overages that we had in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
If in fact that we, Maryland uses up by expanding their fishery in Maryland waters, if they use up that bay-wide quota, we're going to be hurting again, and we're in direct competition with the Maryland boats that are in our waters. Mm-hmm. So we were wanting to get a control on the number of boats, so we actually know the number of boats that are fishing in the Chesapeake Bay and in the offshore fishery or in the Virginia coastal fishery, so that we could better understand where our quotas were coming from and better document our quotas in hopes of getting additional quota from for rockfish, and also looking at our flounder quotas and what effect we're having flounder-wise. And so in supporting the limited entry was not, we were told that we couldn't do anything to an out-of-state boat that we didn't do to our own boats, because we'd get sued and we'd lose it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the capped figure came in. And Maryland has specifically said it has to be a capped guide license in order to get the reciprocity.
They said they wish to pursue limited entry.
Limited
entry. Exactly the words that Secretary Griffin used in his letter to me.
So that to us means that it has to be a limited entry and limited entry fishery. And in order to do that is you take the number of boats that are fishing currently and the number that qualify, and that's where you the number of guide license you're going to issue. And there has been some different discussions on people who would like to be in the fishery but haven't gotten there. There's been people similar to the crab pots who may be holding a charter boat license that don't fish. There's some of us that do fish.
Mm-hmm.
And we would like to see whatever is fair, what commission is being fair to the Virginia charter boaters. And that's what we want.
I don't think I've ever deviated from that intent through the entire process.
Well, and that's where we want to be with y'all.
Okay.
And that's what we've been working towards.
Okay.
So that's our position.
Good deal. Thank you, Captain. Who's next?
Mr. Powers?
My name is Tom Powers. I'm on the Finn Fish Committee. I'm not a charter captain. I have no aspirations to be a charter captain. There is the what do you want to do part of this is a question. Do we want to protect, like we want to protect the full-time watermen in Virginia? A lot of our quotas and seasons are set up. Flounder example, they're real careful about setting the opening dates on flounder when the quotas are available so that we have good market for them. We have a good world-class market in the striped bass fishery in January, December, and February. And the Maryland boats come down here and take customers away. You'll have people talking about that, I suspect, later on. That's one thing that could be protected by the limited entry. It's this proposal I came up with and sent to Jack last week is limited entry with a limited amount of growth. Now, I don't know if Maryland's going to accept that for reciprocity. But if you're trying to protect the Virginia fish charter boat fishery, reciprocity is not a good thing. And that is because we want to keep the ratio of in-state to out-of-state boats kind of sort of what it is now. And that's this concept of 25% of the in-state boats each year could go up and 25% of the out-of-state. Well, there's 40 out-of-state boats, so that's four. There's 250 in-state boats, that's 25. Maybe it's 30, I don't know the number exactly. But the point is, so you get some growth in each side, and one could look at it with other models, but that's something that we would need to go back and really work through in detail. This issue of enforcement, if you take someone's reciprocity away, how is the enforcement officer going to know that that man's not supposed to be out there? He doesn't have a piece of paper in his hand saying, I have a permit to be in Virginia right now. He just has his word that says, or maybe you have a list that all your enforcement guys know that these six boats have been you know, thrown out.
Same way as
for
do,
2 years.
Same as ways we do repeat offenders. We have a database that's computer generated that they can.
So long as your enforcement guys know that, that's my real concern with that. I would suggest that if you do this two-tier system, that you do not make it effective until Commissioner Bowman gets the reciprocity agreement worked out so that he can revoke the permits. The advantage of having the permits as a limited entry permit is that anybody who gets one of those permits can be revoked. I think if you look at the growth on this fishery, it peaked out at 310 in about 2003 or so, and it's down to 280 now, charter boats registered in Virginia, both in-state and out-of-state. I think you'll see that kind of fluctuate around. I think we're getting more Maryland boats in the water. There's competition issues with that you'll have to address. If you look at the Maryland, they're worried about competition. If we do the two-tier system, there is a concern in my mind that Maryland's going to object to it, because what that means is everybody that's got a permit down here in Virginia Beach that's never going to go to Maryland, well, they can sell their permit to a Maryland resident so that they can fish in Maryland, and then they can just go ahead and buy a Class B license because that's all they need. So there is this issue of how are we going to stop that.
Thank you, Tom. Mm-hmm. Who's next? Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you. My name is David Hester. I'm a Coast Guard licensed charter captain. I'm a new guy. I mean, I'm just kind of getting started. But
where are you from, sir?
Chesapeake, Virginia.
Thank you.
But I'm very active. I charter probably 3 to 4 times a week. When all this started, I was in the process of having a boat built by privateer before I had any knowledge of closing this fishery. I have a notarized letter from privateer with the date I ordered the boat that I would like to present y'all with, which is before the
travel date. That'd be fine. What's the date on it, Mr. Nestor?
June 19th is when I wrote the check for the boat, basically. The boat is insured as a charter boat. Here's my insurance policy right here. I'm sorry. Yes, copies. This is for you. And this is when the day I took delivery of the boat was September 8th. That's when I drove down, picked the boat up. September 9th, that boat was registered in Virginia as a charter boat.
When did you order it?
I ordered the boat June 19th. It was built by Privateer Boat Company. Anyway, as far as the target date, that's kind of my issue right now. I personally, I fished Saturday. I fished as far north as I could. I was just below the Maryland line. I personally would be fishing in Maryland right now if I could. That's where the majority of the striped bass are. But my problem is I could not purchase a Virginia charter license before my boat was built. I mean, I had to have the numbers off that boat to purchase a Virginia charter license, which fell beyond the target date.
Bless you.
As far as the guide license, I would like to make a comment on that, too. I personally don't see, I mean, I'm a licensed Coast Guard captain. I have it's like I have a license to drive a vehicle in the state of Virginia, but if I go into Portsmouth, I have to have a Portsmouth driver's license, even though I already have a federally issued license. I mean, you have to jump through a lot of hoops to get a Coast Guard license. They just don't give them to you. You have to pass tests. You have to take physicals. You have to take drug screening. When I went in to get my Virginia charter license, the only requirement for that was $190. They didn't ask me anything. I could. You don't even have to have a Coast Guard license to get that. No, you don't. It's not a requirement. You do not. It's not a requirement. You do not have to be a licensed Coast Guard captain to get a Virginia charter boat license. Virginia guide license, I heard someone comment that a requirement's going to be that you are a Coast Guard captain. That's great. I support that. I have so many licenses now that I can't keep them straight. I mean, I have like 6 licenses in my wallet every time I go fishing. I also do some commercial fishing. I have a waterman's card. I have a hook and line license. I have striper tag license. I don't know which license to pull out now when I'm checked. a Virginia guide license, I mean, that's, I don't understand the reasoning. Why would I need that in combination with a Virginia boat, charter boat license and a Coast Guard license to fish in Virginia waters? I mean, if that's the decision, obviously, I have no choice but to do that. Which is kind of the second thing. You know, the target date is a problem for me because I personally, even though I don't meet the criteria that's set forth, I'm a very active guide, and I would fish in Maryland every day right now if I could.
The target date can be amended. There's been some discussion about that. What did we amend it to? Have we amended it from the initial one?
No.
I know there's been some discussion
If I may, I think we had talked about that if somebody had proof that they had purchased a boat and were in process after the target date, that we would
honor it.
We would honor it. And now, as far as the charter boat license is really, if somebody wants to invest in the business, they buy a charter boat license. They don't have to run it. So that goes with the boat.
Right.
So, and he may have two or three captains that run that, and that's why you need the Coast Guard license. So the owner of the boat doesn't need a Coast Guard license, but the person who runs the boat does. Now, if you want to run the boat for fishing purposes, as opposed to tourism, ecotourism or whatever, or transport or whatever, you know, what's proposing here is a license to do that. And so that's how they all interwork.
But is it not true that a lot of people probably who own some of these larger boats are not licensed Coast Guard captains, which would mean nobody could get a guide's license in that situation because the captains that are running the boat don't own the boat, and the guy who owns the boat is not a Coast Guard captain.
Right. So the person that owns the boat would have to hire a person that is a Coast Guard captain, just like they do now, and they also will have to go get a guide's license if this is passed.
So who's the guide license going to be issued
to? It's in the name of the captain.
The operator of the boat.
The operator.
Right.
It's kind of like a pilot jumping from airplane to airplane at U.S. Air.
So you can have a driver's license in the state of Virginia, but, you know, if you want a chauffeur's license, you have to go back and get that. So if you want to drive for hire, you just can't take your regular driver's license.
Well, but to get a Virginia charter license, you don't have to prove anything. You could be blind almost. You could be blind technically.
But you just can't operate the boat. You can own the boat.
Same way with a truck. Right. You can buy a truck.
You can't drive it.
Right.
Same thing.
Well, anyway, thank you for your time. Wanted to, you know, express my concern with it, how it affects me, and, you know, it's kind of.
Well, we'll see how it develops as far as that target date's concerned. Thank you. Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
My name is Rick Caton. I run the fishing vessel Free Agent out of Hatteras, North Carolina. First, I want to say thank you guys for letting us guys be able to come here. I apologize for our lawmakers being unable to have enough common sense to have reciprocity to allow y'all to do that.
We have asked.
But I do appreciate it. My one point that I have, I beg to differ with Mr. Powers. The boats that come here do not take away from the business of Virginia Beach. I feel that you could ask some of the long-time charter boat operators, such as Mr. Steve Richardson, Mike Romeo, that have been here forever. My people, I come here December, January, February, to the middle of March. I have 8 days open. These people have fished with me for years and years. I was fortunate enough to meet some of the boys in Maryland. They're good guys. They bring their business here, which in turn creates business at the restaurants and stuff. We don't come here and take business from nobody. My people never came here to go striper fishing. A few of them did. A few of them are from here. But they followed me all the way to Cape Point, Hatteras Inlet, and I really beg to differ with that. I think, if anything, the boats that come here are an attribute to the economy. And once again, I do apologize for not the state of North Carolina not having enough common sense to get on the bandwagon and get it right.
Thanks a lot.
Thank y'all very much.
Appreciate it.
Thank y'all.
Good job, too, as a matter of fact. Who's next? Yes, sir.
My name is Gerald Wheatley. I'm from Tangier.
Hi, Mr. Wheatley. Yes, sir. Good to see you, sir.
I'm in a precarious place. I just got my captain, Coast Guard captain license from a boat. But what I've done, When everybody started leaving and things were getting tight, you know, we depend on a lot of tourism for the island.
Yes, sir.
And I had some property, and they told me, go ahead, fix it up. And I have a lot of friends because I've lived working for the government, living all around. And they wanted to come to the island and stay for a week. And I was going to use a boat that I'm still repairing on the railway, and I hope to have it done by spring, you know, to take them out, show them what Crab Hot is about. And I was going to get, the insurance says, in order to get insurance, the home and the boat is a business, that I would have to have a license, Coast Guard license, which I got. Now I want charter license, you know, just not as big as the guys that do it for a living. I'd just be using them, but legally, instead of taking two or three out like most people do around home and get paid for it. I want to be legally and insured. A lot can happen. And I'm just wondering, since I'm going over to Virginia Beach tomorrow and look at a boat, I want to buy and still repairing mine. I'm just wondering, can I get on the list, you know, to get the license, charter boat, you know, license? You know, I've got my Coast Guard license, and now I need a charter boat license. But I won't be taking 40 and 50 people out, or 10 or 12. It'll probably be 2 and 3.
Right. Just from the same line as what we were just talking about with the other gentleman as far as hardship indications. And he's talking about ecotourism and also small charters.
Yeah.
The guide license aspect, he has not, at this juncture, bought a charter boat license, never had one.
If you adopt the staff recommendation, he could still buy
the
second guide license, and he could operate anywhere in Virginia.
That's correct.
He couldn't go into Maryland. If you alter, but even if you alter the date,
it's still
of the restricted guide license. He hasn't bought his yet, so I don't know how you would alter the date without opening it up, and that would endanger the reciprocity.
That's correct. Bottom line is, you would be able to buy a guide license that allowed you to ply the waters of the Commonwealth of Virginia from the state line right on, as long as you didn't go into Maryland.
Okay, that's fine. I guess
good deal.
No, that'd be fine. Are you coming out with a list notifying, like, how do I know? The only reason I found, I get your newsletter, you know, and I read it, and I used to have the newspaper home to write, and I keep up with what's going on, try to, and how will I know when I can buy this license, or what when I'm on the list so I can purchase it?
We have, unfortunately, due to budget restrictions, gone to mostly internet publishing and things like that. However, you can give me a call here. We'll let you know what's going on.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Wheatley. Yes, sir. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. My name is Todd Beck. I wrote a letter to y'all. I live in Virginia Beach. Same kind of situation. I talked to Mr. Schick kindly enough, Mr. Highland, Mr. Robbins, Mr. Gilst on the phone, and thank you very much for that time also. About 2.5 years ago, I'm a school teacher, 20 years, looking forward to retirement real soon. Spent my time with the Commonwealth kids, and y'all owe me a thank you right there. But anyway, I'm looking forward to retirement, and 2.5 years ago, I've set plans and motions to become a charter boat captain, part-time now, full-time when I retire, and obviously I have the summers off. I bought a boat 2.5 years ago, and to acquire the sea time necessary to get my Coast Guard's license. I started my class in September, and I successfully completed my Coast Guard captain's class, and paperwork will be going to Baltimore next week. Turnaround time I'm hearing is at least 6 weeks, so it's definitely going to put me after the first year. So any control date that is forwarded is a concern of mine. I like the option I heard Mr. Travelstead today with the two licenses. I'm a Virginia Beach resident. I have no desire at all to go to Maryland. I don't have a problem with them coming here. I have good friends that do that and run those charters. So if we're going to go this way, I would very much be in favor of having a license that allowed me to apply this trade in my home state, and I could care less about going to Maryland.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Yep. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. It's a rare solution for everybody.
My name's Al Bunnell.
Got your letter, Mr. Bunnell. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for taking time to look over.
Yes, sir.
First off, I also complete Coast Guard classes and hold the UPV certification. I purchased a boat 2 years ago with the intention of starting to run charters part-time, and I'm obviously concerned with the original proposal as put forward and limiting my ability to do that. On the flip side of the coin, and the new proposal put forward by Mr. Travelstead, I certainly support. I would also add that I would like to support that out-of-state boats, or specifically Maryland boats, be required to purchase this same guide permit. Having worked on boats as a mate, it was very difficult being limited, but fishing lawfully inside the 3 mile line when you had out-of-state boats that would not do the same. You had a tough day fishing or a bad day fishing, and your crew's looking at the guys that went out with the Maryland boats throwing 30, 40 pounders up in a limit up on the dock, and they're thinking, heck, I want to go with them next time. So, you know, it certainly puts a hard strain on the Virginia charter boat captains. Another story, I work for a rep firm. They have another rep firm in Charlotte, and the guys wanted to charter a boat to go fishing the winter striper fishery. I said, well, I know a lot of Virginia charter boat captains. I'll give them a call. And they're like, no, we want to go with a Maryland guy, because they'll go outside and jig for them. So it's the customers that know it, too. And it does take some business away from the Virginia guys, in my mind's eye. I think that also by requiring in and out of state boats to purchase the guide permit, it will give you that management tool to get a firm number on who's fishing our waters, as far as a fisheries management tool. But I think far and beyond that, it's going to give you an enforcement tool to level the playing field so that our state boats really can compete levelly or at an even level with the out-of-state boats. And that's it for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bunnell. Anyone else? Sir. Good afternoon.
How are you doing?
Good, sir.
I'm John Crowling. I'm with the Virginia Beach Fishing Center, and I'm kind of representing the marinas out of Rudy Inlet and most of the charter fleet. I've heard some discussion about the business, and I've been down there a long time, and the Carolina guys and the Maryland guys, by my count, there's still only 19 Maryland boats that fish out of there. The business, as far as taking business away from Virginia Beach or any other city, my experience and what I see is that the boats that come down truly bring their own customers, and the guys in our fleet don't feel like they're taking anything away from them. So I think that's a misnomer. We're kind of against the issuance of a guide license altogether. But if one's going to be issued, we'd like to see maybe some further discussion, and would like to have, if a subcommittee set up, have one of our people on the subcommittee if that's possible. One of the things about the guide license that we feel is one of the driving forces that we're against is that people that don't have a guide license, it creates a commodity that they can sell. And we're kind of against that, being able to create such a commodity that someone could sell. I mean, I think that's almost unfair. I think if you get out of the fishing business, you should surrender your guide license in some way and let it be issued to someone that, really wants to be a charter boat.
But isn't it true the only commodity that would be for sale down here would be the ones that wanted to go up to Maryland?
Well, I mean, it depends on how it's issued. I mean, the way that Jack's latest proposal is, in my mind, is pretty good, the way he proposes it. The only other thing that I would have to say is that headboats, to address headboats. There's only limited dockage for headboats anyway in the entire city of Virginia Beach. And I would think in some definition of headboats, maybe certified for 30 or more passengers, should be excluded altogether from having to the captain having to have a guide license. Because there's such a limited fishery, and it's so hard to find headboat captains. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for coming again from last month. I appreciate it. Who's next? Yes, sir. Good afternoon, sir.
How y'all doing? My name's Chandler Hogg, resident of Newport News. When I was a little kid, decided I wanted to work the water. That's what I've done. I have been fortunate enough to be born in Virginia. This is a great, we've got one of the best fisheries in the whole East Coast. Nobody's touched on this. We're the furthest north that all the southern fish come, and we're the furthest south that all the northern fish come. I mean, that's where we stand. We've got the best fishery. And that, one of the reasons that is because of management up and down the East Coast. Okay? I'm friends with guys from Maryland. I'm friends with Rick Caton. I'm friends with Steve. We all have worked our butt off to get in this business and to be a success. And we hope that y'all would, you know, see what we're trying to do and what we're trying to accomplish by this guide license. It's not just, you know, these rockfish. It's, you know, 5 years ago, I got pushed out of a fishery because of the internet. I had some tog numbers that my family has put out there 40, 50, 60, 70 years ago. We used to own an oyster shucking business. I've got pictures of my dad and my grandfather and my great uncle standing on oyster shells taller than the York River. Well, they decided that the water was no more, so they sent three brothers out of the seven and got land jobs, and the rest died by the wayside. And those brothers that worked the water decided that they were going to make reefs off here, and they did. And due to the internet, I've been pushed out of that tog fishery altogether because it's overcrowded. Now everybody goes and does it, and I don't want to see that done to the striped bass. He said 19 boats. You know, Maryland's not the bad people. North Carolina's not the bad people. We're not saying all Marylanders. We're all guys from North Carolina. We just want for Virginia to put something in place to protect the Virginia charter boat. Okay? That's what we need. I don't think reciprocity is it. Everybody has got reciprocity right now that wants it. They've got it. It's called a provisional guide license. And those people that are close to the line use that license right now.
I'm not sure that all up there that want it have it.
Not all of it? Okay, I know three people that have it.
If that were the case,
I know three, just so I can put this on the record, I know three people that have that guide license that are not using it right now and would be glad to lease that out on a year-to-year basis.
Okay,
well, there you go. See, so, well, like I said, if I have misstated, then I apologize. But
it's a lot to it.
What I'm concerned about is the head boat. I run two boats. Both of them are certified, Coast Guard certified. That means over six people. Now, that means that my captain has to have a U.S. Coast Guard Master license. It's not a six-pack. It's a U.S. Coast Guard Master's. It's very hard to find somebody that's got that license. So, I think that this guide license should go with the boat, not with the individual running it. Just a far-fetched thing. The fellow that's running my other boat right now, he gets his guide license through me because I've employed him. I've given him, he's been paid. He's on my drug consortium.
Mm-hmm.
What if, you know, 5 months down the road, he decides that he's not going to treat the clients the way that I want them treated. He goes off I'm left there with a boat that I can't find anybody to run it, and he's running around making a living off something that I've worked hard to build, my business.
Let me proffer this to you. What if next week he goes out and treats the marine aquatic life in a manner that I don't like it? What do I do about that?
You fine him. You bring him in here and you fine him.
Okay.
You know what I would do? I would take him to the closest dock, and I don't think he'd be walking too much. But Al Bunnell was one of my mates right here, so I couldn't do that to him.
I think Counselor would tell you that those days went out with the days of the Constitution. Not that my days that I wouldn't mind doing that, but I don't think that would
be
that. But anyway, thank you.
So I think that on that kind of a basis, you know, any certified boat, maybe that the license, the guide license go with the boat, like they were saying with the head boats. I think that's a good idea because it is hard to find a master that would fall within this parameter of this guide license. And I would one thing that I think we need to look at is another way to show whether the person was in the fishery would be like a drug consortium. He's got every Coast Guard person that works on a vessel in Virginia is supposed to be on a drug consortium. So if they were in a consortium under my control or whatever, I think they should, you know, that should be another grounds for them to get a license. You know, and then what they're talking about with, you know, we've only got a certain number of poundage of these rockfish that we can use, and if we go over that quota, we're not going to be able to you know, we're going to be cut next year. And I think we need to look at that with the Maryland, you know, say, hey, we need to tweak this a little bit. You know, I think that they need to be a little bit more accountable for the quota that they're taking out of our waters.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Who's next?
Good afternoon. My name is Travis Beach. I'm from Virginia Beach, Virginia. I've got a dog in this fight as well. Earlier this year, went out and bought a commercial boat. Took the Coast Guard captain's course. My package is going off next week as well. So I would fall into that didn't meet the control date criteria. Honestly, I came in here loaded for bear. I've been one of Mr. Travelstead's thorns in his side lately because I haven't been very supportive of what he's doing lately. However, he took all that away. I can stand fully behind the proposal he's brought up today, the idea that we would have two licenses, one that would allow you to go into Maryland and one would allow you to fish Virginia waters exclusively. I can fully support that. I did have one question, though, as to whether the guide license in its current form, if I were to have a guide's license, does that limit me to fishing with my boat only? A lot of experience down in Florida. As a guide, I fished different boats down there.
No, sir.
Okay, so it goes with the captain and wherever the captain goes.
Your pilot's license.
Gotcha.
Thank you, sir. Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
Jason Carroll.
Hey, Jason.
How you doing? I'm a mate on a charter boat in Virginia. We fish in North Carolina waters as well in the springtime, and I have some concerns about what's going to happen with the guide license. If you make it a limited entry program to people who already hold charter boat licenses, you're putting me and maybe some other people, I don't know, they might not want to get a charter boat one day, but you're putting them in a position where, you know, as it was addressed before, it's going to become a commodity, you know, as to where now you got some people who've served a certain amount of sea time, you know, to earn the right to be a captain one day, you know, and I guess what I'm trying to say is, you know, you could have somebody who's, you know, hasn't done it for a living, you know what I mean,
mm-hmm.
to speak, and they've, you know, achieved success in getting their captain's license before the date that was set forth by you and your committee. And they got their guide license, you know. Well, now that becomes a valuable asset to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's a whole other market to it, you know what I mean?
Well, there's one solution to that. Have the state of North Carolina enter into a reciprocal agreement with Commonwealth of Virginia. We can negotiate the details.
Well, I understand
that. Honestly, yeah. I'm very serious.
Yeah. Now, I'm not necessarily addressing the state of North Carolina or the, you know, I'm talking about Virginia and our guide license specifically, you know what I mean? It's, you know, what are you offering for future generations of charter boat captains?
Are you a resident of the state of North Carolina?
No, Virginia.
You are Virginia, okay.
Yes, sir. What are you offering for future generations of charter boat captains besides a certain amount of set forth licenses that have already issued, whether active or inactive, and the price will be determined by those individuals who hold those licenses?
Well, unfortunately, at this juncture, there are a lot of limited entry fisheries that are exactly
right.
That same way.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably how this one would work as well, unless you could find someone that wanted to transfer it to you.
Right. Okay.
Thank you. Have a good day. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm Bob Reed. I'm from Reedville.
Mr. Reed, how are
you? Charter Boat Captain. I'm also with the Charter Boat Association, but I'm not speaking as a representative position of the association. I want to thank the staff and Jack Travelstead for all the work he's done working with that, working on this issue. And I talked to Commissioner Fox today in his time. To me, the proposal, I'm speaking as myself as a charter boat captain in Reedville, and the proposal that Jack put forward, number one, would work for me. It would work for, I think it would meet what we discussed originally as our original goal to be able to fish in Maryland. And it would allow the, overcome the objections we heard last week from these young men that want to fish in the future. They're Virginia captains, the people that just got their license, they'd be able to get their license, it would solve the problem. I know we did not go into this with any intent of being able to sell our license. That wasn't our motive. And I don't think we need to do that. I don't see any reason to do that. So I appreciate your time and effort, and thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reed. And also, who's next? Jason, you can come on up. Jason, I misspoke a minute ago. I'm caught between, you can stay right there. I'm caught between shifting gears about the limited entry and also the one that's Baywide. As far as the future is concerned, there's no number on the Baywide license or the Virginia Waters Wide, so you could purchase one of those as long as you satisfied the criteria, so I wanted to clarify that. Thank you. Yes, sir.
My name is Robert Smith. I currently mate on a charter boat out of Virginia, and we do fish Hatteras in the summertime as well. We fish rockfish season in the wintertime. We fish out of Weems, Virginia, out of the Rappahannock. Hmm. We go as far as Smith Point Lighthouse area, which is just south of the state line,
right,
and catch our fish and then go back to our home port. I, too, am in a captain's class right now currently. I've got my hours and my time offshore fishing as well as inshore to get my offshore endorsement. I'm in the 50-ton master's class. So this, how it's set up currently, would eliminate me from being able to get my career started in fishery as far as a Coast Guard charter captain. I do like the new thing that Mr. Travelstead has come out with today. I think that's fair to a lot of people like myself, Jason included, and I do support that. So I just want to voice that.
Thank you very much. Thank you for coming down. Who's next? Mr. Pride? Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Mr. Commissioner and Associate Commissioners. Bob Hill just asked me to speak for the Charter Boat Association. We've kind of listened to what's going on today and have factored that into our thinking. And I'd like to share where we are at the moment with you because it is a little different than when we walked in the door this morning. First of all, I'd like to explain why you got the letter that you did on Friday, because it was a surprise to you, and it was an unfair surprise, I think. And I want to apologize for that, but we were unfairly surprised too by our own members to some extent. What happened was that we advertised a position that we all agreed upon to bring Maryland to the table, and that cut out reciprocity basically, because it only allowed the Maryland boats that already had a Virginia charter boat license to stay licensed in Virginia. And unfortunately, that provision took on a life of its own. Some of the charter boat operators in the lower bay thought that was great to limit competition from the Maryland boats. And and it just built up a head of steam, and FMAC, it really came to a head. And so that's our own membership came to us and was suggesting that we stick with that original position. So that said, I'll shut up about that. Just wanted to let you guys know what happened there. It wasn't any deliberate subterfuge on the part of the association.
Bob, I believe that 100%.
All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. In the course of this public process over the last 6 or 8 weeks, after we actually started talking to the public, 7, quote, benefits came up for this charter boat guide's license. And the first one was the reciprocity issue that started the whole thing. That's the first benefit. To get an equal playing field for Virginia boats that want to fish in Maryland. Then we heard there was an enforcement issue with the EZ and striped bass and other things that this would help. Then we heard that we didn't really know how many charter boats were fishing in Virginia because of reciprocity, and this would help us get a count of the charter boats. Then we heard that there might be conservation benefits because we would restrict the number of people fishing for striped bass, perhaps. We heard that we might protect the charter boat industry, provide additional professionalism for that industry, and create a valuable asset for them. That was another benefit. We thought we might push North Carolina toward reciprocity by implementing this with the limits that we originally published. And then we thought we might provide some means for increased public safety by allowing Virginia to check and make sure that someone had their random drug testing card with them and that they were active in that program, that sort of thing. So those were the reasons that came out in the public process. These are not all Virginia Charter Boat Association reasons. That's just what we heard. Okay, and I think we've heard objections to some of those. Three primary objections that we've heard so far, and I think these pretty much encompass variations of everything we've heard. First of all, so we'd somehow exclude or cause future entrants to be denied a license or have to pay an exorbitant price for one. That was one objection that we heard. The second objection is that people don't like giving that valuable asset to the initial qualifying people that initially qualify. In other words, they don't like the public process creating wealth for an individual. And even though it's happened in commercial fisheries, I understand that when I see what a scallop boat license sells for these days. And then the third thing we've heard that we would be restricting growth and economic development in areas where charter boat participation is important to the Hotel Motel Association, to marinas, etc. Those are all real objections, and nobody denies that. Now, Jack's proposal that I heard about the first time this morning with the two-tiered license statewide makes sense. What it does is it takes care of reciprocity, the original thing that we got into this for. It gives us an enforcement tool with a little tweaking that I'll talk about in a minute. It gives us a count of charter boats with a little tweaking, and it gives us the public safety wedge that we need. It doesn't deal with, you know, protecting the industry. It doesn't deal with conservation, which isn't necessary at this time. And it doesn't help us push North Carolina toward reciprocity unless they just get jealous. But it does eliminate all three of the objections. People can freely enter. They won't have to pay an exorbitant price. They'll pay the same price everybody else does. And there's no valuable asset being given away unless you consider that the Maryland reciprocal agreement might have some value. I don't know. That may have some value. I don't think it's going to be a huge amount of money, though. So the Class A license might have some value, whereas the Class B would be freely available. And then the objection of restricting growth would not be there because people would be able to freely get a guide's license. So based upon all that, the Charter Boat Association would now like to tell the Commission that we like Jack's proposal, and we like the idea of working out these other details through a working group over the next whatever it takes and see if there are other provisions that we should incur down the road. So with that said, I'd like to suggest two modifications to the proposal that Jack put forth, and they're fairly small modifications. The first one is that the major qualifier for the person that's operated a boat for 30 days be that he's been enrolled in a random drug test program for the owner of the vessel. If I hire you to run my boat, Steve, I have to enroll you in this random drug test program. So that's the most easy way to check. There should be records for that. They'll have a card that has the effective dates, et cetera. So I think that we could use that as probably the most reliable tool to prove that they actually work as a charter boat captain. And the second thing is that because of the enforcement and the headcount issue for the boats, I think we need to issue some kind of paper to the Maryland boats that come here. If we just give them, you know, when you modify the reciprocity agreement, you know, tell them that they qualify for a free guide license or something that gives them a piece of paper that physically has to be presented to enforcement, can physically be revoked.
Oh, I don't think there's that's long been. I know that that might not have made it in the regulation, but a license is going to come with a piece of paper regardless of who gets it.
Okay, even the reciprocal deal.
Absolutely.
Okay, because I think that Maryland issues some kind of paper to Virginia, but I'm not sure.
I was under the impression that we would issue a piece of paper to everyone, even though reciprocity was in place.
We do not now issue any kind of paper to any license that we accept as reciprocal.
Well, if we're going to revoke something, we're going to have something tangible, or we'll just revoke the status.
We're revoking the reciprocity status for that licensee. That's what we talked about.
How much trouble would it be to run them a license?
Create a piece of paper that they would have to have?
That way we keep track of who they are as well.
You just want to do it for the fishing guides.
Right.
For Maryland only.
We're
talking about 100 pieces of paper, basically. Yeah, I don't think
that's. And you go sell a Virginia one, so you go sell a piece of paper through point of sale? Or is that going to have to be? No, you can't do it point of sale because you've got too many validation points.
Well, we'd have to set up an application process where a Marylander coming down here would learn he has to have a piece of paper in hand.
Wayne, good seeing you, sir. Oh, come on back.
But anyway,
we'll work that out.
So that's good. Okay, thank you. Appreciate your time.
Bob, thank you so very much for your time. Appreciate it.
All right. Well, I wish it hadn't gotten confusing on Friday.
We'll be all right. Anyone else? The matters before the commission for discussion and action. I'm sorry.
I'm sitting in the back there.
Thought you were asleep. Come on up, sir. Long day.
Yes, sir.
Just pretty quick. State your name, please.
My name is Bubby Crown. I want to thank you for having the opportunity to speak, and would also like to say that I am a small potato and aspire to remain a small potato in this.
Not in this room, you're not.
Well, this has become pretty complicated, it seems, and Jack Travelstead's proposal that's in front of you now with the A and the B seems like a very reasonable way to get some closure to this. Concerns of headboat operators. This would allow an in-state person to march right on down and get a license the day he's hired and go to work the next day. It would allow restricted license to satisfy Maryland. I think everybody here. I had a whole thing prepared, but it just seems so reasonable after listening to this that it's no sense in going into all these other and all this other stuff, and I'm really not sure why I walked up here, but I would like to thank you for the time to at least say a couple words, and you know, whatever I can do, be of any assistance going forward, I'd love to interaction.
Thanks a lot. Have a good Thanksgiving. You come down anytime. The matter's before the commission for discussion and action.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Holland.
I would move that we adopt Jack Travelstead's option one on the two license. And I would like to add that from the letters I've gotten and the phone calls I've gotten, we're almost at 100% with everybody in agreement here today. And you asked me when I walked in today, would that happen? I would have said no. So I'm very pleased to make that motion. And I think we should send Jack to Washington to negotiate some things.
He's not going anywhere. Is there a second to the motion?
Second to the motion.
Second by Mr. Schick. Further discussion.
I'd just like to say that
Mr. Schick first and then Mr. Robbins.
Fair competition breeds higher volume of business. Anybody who thinks that by having more people participating in an industry, the pie pieces get smaller, that only happens when it's a limited amount of pie. There is a lot of pie out there, and I think the more charter boats we have here working on a fair, even competitive level, we're going to build a one of the best industries into even a better industry, and I think this is going to go for that.
Thank you, Mr. Schick. Mr. Fox, why I'm leaning that way?
I just want to say that the one point that's not been mentioned today, and it's a significant advantage to the people up in my end of the bay, is that the Maryland has a different rockfish season than we have, and there'll be significant advantage to utilizing this reciprocity and going into Maryland when their rockfish season is open and ours is not. And I just want everybody to know that that's another pat on Jack's back.
Thank you. Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I'm not quite as sold on the fact that we have a consensus today. I think there's still some issues that need to be resolved related to this. I think the agency issue needs to be discussed, or that is whether or not the permit follows the boat or the operator. I mean, it seems to me that the solution is certainly an obvious solution for achieving reciprocity with Maryland, and also alleviating the concern and the objection related to entry, so that there could be new access. I mean, I think fundamentally that's very solid, but I think some of the details still ought to be worked out through a committee.
Okay, I'll appoint the committee after we have the motion. That'll be fine. I think it's a good idea. Further comment? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
No.
Motion carries 8-1.
Mr. Chairman. Couple of points.
Yes.
The regulation that you have in front of you was one that aligned with the original proposal. It does not contain all of the provisions to align with the option one, which your motion adopted. What I would like to do is work with my expert staff in redrafting this to conform to the option one,
mm-hmm.
and bring it back to you at your December meeting for a simple motion to accept the language. I mean, you
that would be fine.
The concept. I will bring you the final reg in December to put all that together.
Okay. As far as the subcommittee's concerned, that Mr. Robbins referred to, Mr. Robbins, you indicated you had some concerns. I know you're busy with the CRAB committee and Mid-Atlantic Council and a lot of other things. Would you like to be on that committee?
I'd certainly try. I'd be willing to do it.
Okay. Two commission members, I'd like to appoint you and Mr. Lane to serve on the subcommittee, and Jack will serve as staff liaison. And Jack, if you would, involve those members of the charter boat community, specifically Virginia Charter Boat Association, as well as a representative from the Hotel and Motel Association. That way, even if there are not any parameters that need to be considered by one specific sector, they'll all be kept in the loop, so there will be no misunderstanding. Enough? Thank you.
Yes, sir, Mr. Holland.
I got a follow-up question just on Mr. Holland's motion. Perhaps I didn't understand it when I voted, but was the motion to approve the regulation that was advertised, or was it to simply go into committee with...
No, it was to approve the regulation as advertised.
No.
Also,
option one.
Option one.
With two licenses.
Wait a minute. The question was from Mr. Robbins, was your motion to approve what was advertised, or was it to go to a committee?
My motion was to approve option one that Jack brought up, having the two licenses.
That's where I was mistaken, Rick. My position was that JT made a motion to approve a regulation that will be tweaked to accomplish, which was option one. It was not to go to a committee. Am I correct?
Correct.
That's correct.
That's correct. So what will the specific charge to the committee be?
You had indicated that you believe that there were certain things that need to be worked out. I would presume the charge of the committee would be agency, as you brought up.
Right.
As well as I would like the committee to look at specific situations that involve those individuals that were on their way to obtaining their boats and certain parameters that would make them eligibility issues.
And come back and re-advertise those items.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks.
Fine.
That's
well,
a good point.
Well, it is for reciprocity.
Oh, for reciprocity.
Yes.
Further questions?
Right.